Osborne in Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. This is Felicia King, and you are listening to Breakfast Bites. Today's topic of the IT Security Radio Show is the Windows Phone. Nope, not Android, not iPhone. Nope, the Windows Phone. Why? Well, because security is a conundrum that we all have. And I did a whole bucket load of research for you. Found out some very interesting things, even in more detail than I've talked about before on the show, regarding iPhones and Android phones and the security issues associated with all of the platforms. So let's start with Android and the and the issues with Android. And I apologize for my little cough there. I'm getting over a cold here. Android, basically Google has said that they will not release any more security patches for certain versions of Android. And that does not bode well because the statistics that I saw suggested that that there were over 40 million phones out there that were still actively being utilized that still had this older version of Android operating system on them. Well, that's incredibly problematic. And you know, you have all of your sensitive data on your phone, such as your email, access to documents. Maybe you're using Google Drive. I mean, just all kinds of things are very sensitive that are on your phone. And yet, the operating system for that phone is not getting patched. So in the circumstance that you have an older version of an Android operating system, not only is it lacking in features such as the ability to encrypt the operating system or the ability to encrypt the SD card, but it's also not getting patched. So let's take it one step further up. You say, well, what if I go and I buy a new Android phone? Okay. Well, that would be okay if you went and spent $600 to go buy a black phone. Now, a black phone is a GSM-only phone, therefore you would only be able to use it with AT&T's network. You have to order it from Italy. It is not provided by the cell phone company. It is a very nice phone, I might add. But the reason that it is $600 is because it is a custom high security phone. It is not locked to a particular cell provider, which is one of the reasons it's $600. It does have an annual subscription with it, and Black Phone, that's literally the name of the company, they are issuing security patches for their customized version of Android. So they are supporting that phone, and by the essence of it being advocated as a secure phone, they are staying on top of those patches for that operating system. Now, the other nice thing about the Black Phone is it has the entire Silent Circle suite built into it. And that's really the annual subscription thing that I was talking about is really through Silent Circle. So, what if you have an Android phone that you are utilizing with a cellular service provider like Verizon or AT&T? Well, in that case, let's say it's a new phone and they are releasing security updates for it, but Verizon and AT&T are taking more than 6 months to do so. And that's if they ever actually get around to it. So these phones that have been customized by the cell phone providers are very problematic, in my opinion. They do not have a rapidity in their speed to patch. So even in the circumstance where Google has gone and released a patch for their current version of Android, Verizon and AT&T may not actually deploy that patch to your phone for more than 6 months. So in the meantime, you're running around with an unpatched phone. This is really not cool. Now, I do know some people, the way that they've handled that is that they've basically flashed the operating system on their phone and, you know, unlocked it, so then they've got a customized flavor of Android on it. But, I mean, you've really got to be some hardcore IT person to do that. And I mean, I'm serious. The only people that I personally know that have successfully done that and ended up with a usable phone at the end of it were hardcore IT people like myself. So this is not something that I can just sit here and say, oh, yeah, you should totally do that. No, I can't say that. I don't consider that to be a widespread viable option. So now let's talk a little bit about the iPhone. And the iPhone does have encryption. The newer iPhones, they've really done, I think, a lot to improve security. And they are overall pretty secure. And Apple is releasing patches for their operating system in a timely fashion. So it's a good option. What if, though, you have no desire to pay astronomical sums of money for an Apple device and then to have your entire identity with a phone home profile to Apple and everything else like that? And by the way, if you use an iPhone, you really have to be very, very cautious about all of these phone home technologies that are built into the iPhone. And their convenience features, they're not security. So if you're desiring to have security, then you really can't be using a lot of the convenience features. An example of that is the whole fingerprint authentication. That's not secure on many levels. And I've talked about that on previous shows, and I'm not going to waste time here talking about it. But suffice to say, it is not conducive, or it is not consistent with an ideology that says that you want to be secure. So, on the other hand, though, you know, clearly they're locking their screen and all of that. It is secure. And the one interesting thing I will tell you about an iPhone is that when it says that the stuff is encrypted, it actually means it. And I'm talking about encryption against somebody who has physical possession over your phone being able to obtain data from it. So as long as your phone is in a shutdown state and you have not unlocked it, then the stuff will still be encrypted. In the circumstance that you've booted up the phone and you've unlocked it, so you've logged into it, by essence, the phone has to decrypt the data at that point. So if you happen to be going through, oh, let's say Customs and Border Patrol, it would be prudent to shut down your phone. Now, Customs and Border Patrol feel that they have full authorization to take your phone and make a copy of the contents of it if they so feel like it. And I'm not here to debate the validity of that. There are some very interesting Supreme Court cases that say that they don't have the right to do that. So, nonetheless, if your phone is encrypted, well, it's going to make it more difficult for them to be successful in obtaining a flat-out, you know, usable copy of the contents of your phone. But that only works if the phone is shut down. Now, if you have booted up the phone and then logged into it, well, you just effectively decrypted the information. So you need to understand that aspect of it. And so that's not really me saying anything about the iPhone not being secure. That's the way that phones work. I mean, you need to understand, that's just the way that phones work. All right, so I went on this mission to try to find a way for me to have a phone that was not an iPhone because I did not want to have an iPhone. And I really do not care for the Android paradigm in that if I wanted to have a black phone, I would have to not only have an annual subscription, but I would also have to pay $600 for a phone, but I would also have to change service providers. And I'm really not interested in just having GSM coverage all the time. You know, realize that the black phone is made in Italy by a very good company, but it is targeted at the European market. It's definitely available in the United States, but it is targeted at the European market where GSM is very popular. They don't, I don't believe they really have 4G going on much in Europe. So, I did not want to have an Android phone that was provided by the cell phone provider for which they're not patching the operating system on a frequent basis. I mean, that's just, it's not acceptable. This is just completely not acceptable these days. So what alternative did I have? Well, there is the Windows phone. And it turns out the Windows phone is way cooler than I thought it would be. I mean, I knew I was going to have to give up some functionality in going to a Windows phone, but I didn't realize that I would be getting back way more functionality than what I had before, and that functionality actually is directly translating to productivity. So, let's go over it. So, I got a Windows phone, and I got one for my husband, who is a scientist, and I bring that up because he has proceeded to tell me that this is his favorite phone that he has ever had. And I said, well, tell me why. Why do you think this is a great phone? He says, well, the phone call quality, the audio fidelity is phenomenal. He says it's better than any phone that he has ever had. And he's had a number of very expensive phones. And he also says that it is incredibly intuitive. I mean, just really, really intuitive, so much more intuitive than Android ever was. And he had a variety of Android phones in the past. So I found that rather interesting. And, I mean, clearly being a scientist, he's no dummy. And even yet, he had ended up hating most of his former phones because they just weren't as intuitive enough for him as what he had wanted. And now he's got this Windows phone, and he actually thanked me for buying it for him. So that's a pretty big deal. He must really like that phone. All right. So myself, I really like this phone as well because I have the weather on the front screen. It is incredibly well integrated into all of my Exchange mailboxes, and I have more than two of them. And I can manage each one of my Exchange mailboxes directly from a separate start menu pinned icons. And of course, if any of you have seen actually Windows 8 or 8.1, or even Windows 10 at this point, it's the live tiles style of a start menu. And of course, that's what's on this phone as well. So it tells me what my upcoming appointment is. It certainly tells me date and time and stuff. Simple things like a massive overhaul to the calendar, the presentation of the calendar is something that has huge productivity impact. I mean, I've never seen a calendar presentation as good as this. And I've shown this to a few of my friends, one of whom is a forensic accountant. And every single person who has seen this calendar presentation on this Windows phone, their eyes get big, and they're like, that is amazing. I literally can see my entire week at a glance in detail on one screen. So every single day, plus every single appointment for every day, plus I have a full month calendar. And I can flip to the next week with a simple simple swipe. I can flip to having it show me a full day with, you know, simply a button press. I can go to multi-month with a, you know, simple button press. This really is an amazing calendar view, and I'm very impressed with it. Managing the alarms on the phone was very easy. It has a full Skype for Business integration, and I, you know, Skype for Business did not work. And of course, this Skype for Business is it used to be Link 2013. And that really didn't work very well on Android at all. In fact, trying to get Skype for Business or even Link 2013 to work on an Android phone was pretty brutal. I mean, you had to do some weird certificate hack. It was really just unworkable. And then the way that it would sense your presence or the presentation of the link messages was just awful. And anyways, the integration was just not, it wasn't there. So some of the other fascinating things that I find about the Windows Phone is it has this tremendous Office 365 integration. And you don't even have to have Office 365. You could just have a Microsoft account. You could have multiple Exchange mailboxes, which I do. So you can have full OneNote integration. I mean, you know, what we're talking about here is a level of integration for people that are heavy Office, Microsoft Office users. This level of integration is unparalleled, in my opinion. So the searching on it is very good. I think it's very intuitive. I've got two Exchange mailboxes on it. It gives me the ability to memorize or kind of favorite certain folders in my mailbox. So I can quickly pop between those various mailboxes, folders, not only the mailboxes, but also the folders, without having to scroll through the entire folder list. And this is something that Android never did. And I've used iPhones plenty before, and I really don't like the way that they show you your Exchange mailbox. I don't personally find it intuitive, and sorting through folders and moving things can really be frustrating. Furthermore, the iPhone and the iPad has a tendency to condense or consolidate all of your mailboxes into a single view. And that's okay if that's what you want. I mean, the Windows Phone will give you an all mailboxes view if that's what you want. But what if that's not what you want? What if you really want to keep those mailboxes separate? Well, that is really quite hard on an iPhone. Now, it's not all, you know, roses and clover here. Again, excuse me. There are not as many applications available for the Windows Phone as compared to Android or iPhone. As an example, I had iBird Yard, which is a really cool bird application. It was like a bird encyclopedia. I think it actually had full integration with Birdpedia, which is pretty cool. I used to go out and about and find, oh, what is that bird? And I'd go and look it up, and it had a really awesome feature in it where you would put in, you know, the size of the bird and the color and the season and your geography and that, and it would give you an ability to try and hone in on exactly what type of bird that was. Unfortunately, iBird Yard is not available for Windows Phone at this time. So it is what it is. I am still going to keep my Android phone available to me just use it on wireless for the purposes of using iBird Yard and potentially some other things that I was using Android for that I can't do with Windows Phone. So example of that is I was using Nessus as well as Insider for Android. Now, Nessus is a penetration testing security application. And so for those IT people out there, you guys are going to know what that is. Insider was a wireless survey utility. Really nice one, I might add. Now, there are plenty of other nice wireless survey tools available for Android and iPhone. And that is unfortunately something that I have found is not available yet for the Windows Phone, although I have noticed that there's quite a lot of application development going on for the Windows Phone. The Maps application in Windows Phone works wonderful. I really have been quite pleased with it. It is based upon Microsoft's very, 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 very mature product. I would argue that it has one really differentiating feature between it versus Google Maps, and that is that the Maps application on Windows Phone literally gives you the ability to download the entire North America map and have it on the phone so that you can utilize it without sucking up your data plan. So now imagine that you are going to go on a trip and you say to yourself, well, I want to just download the whole map so that my data plan on my phone is not getting consumed for the purposes of, you know, the map content delivery while I'm driving around. Well, Windows Phone Maps will do that for you, whereas Google Maps does not do that for you. One other adverse impact that I have found with regards to the Windows Phone is there is no customized TrendWorry-free business security services client for it yet, and that is because this thing is considered to be a full-fledged Windows operating system. I mean, you know, it's a real it's a real Windows operating system. It's not it's not a little dumbed-down baby operating system. Whereas Android and iPhone are, you know, dumbed down operating systems. iPhone is not, an iPhone operating system, iOS for iPhone is dumbed down compared to the functionality that you would get if you had a full Apple computer. And so when the TrendWorry Free Business Security Services client is installed on an iPhone, the Trend client detects that and it says, oh, well, this is, you know, this is an iPhone, so therefore I'm okay with it having less than 4 gig of RAM. Well, when the Trend client is attempted to be installed on a Windows phone, the Trend client says, oh, wait a second here, this thing is a Windows device, and it looks like a full phone to me, or it looks like a full Windows device to me, and it doesn't have a gig of RAM. So, not going to install. And believe me, I've brought this up with Trend already, so I'm going to try and push the envelope to get that issue corrected. So, the calendar is phenomenal. Skype for Business works great. The maps work great. Of course, it's got, you know, calculator, and actually the weather application is pretty slick. I mean, I'm really impressed with it. Full OneDrive integration, full OneNote integration, full Office 365 integration in general, and I mean really high functional levels of integration, not just, well, you can see your content. No, I'm talking about you can really edit this stuff. And this also applies to Word documents, Excel documents. I mean, you've really got a full version of a fully functional, not like a babied, neutered version of Word and Excel here. It really works fully functional. I've been very impressed with it. I like the people function as well. I think something that everybody who has a phone has is they want to have their, you know, recently used contacts or their speed dial or, you know, whatever you want to call it, their people favorites. And I found this to be really easy to set up. The phone that I got has plenty of onboard memory with it. I found the camera to be very easy to use. So, in general, I've been just extremely satisfied with this phone, and it's quite, I was a bit surprised at how pleased I would be with the phone, considering the fact that I was fully aware that I was going to have to give up my surveillance camera application and iBird Yard and, Nessus and Insider, and I was going to potentially run into other issues, but I've just been really pleasantly surprised by all the things that do work. I have a DocuSign account, and I find that the integration with DocuSign and Windows Phone works exceptionally well. It actually works way better on the Windows Phone than it ever did on the Android phone. So that's cool. Now, the one thing that I can't tell you about with regards to the phone is games, because I don't have time to play games, let alone playing the small games that exist that you can run on a phone. If I'm going to actually sit down and play a game, it's going to be something on a 30-inch screen. It's going to be something intense. Now, before I wrap up this topic of mobile phones and the Windows Phone and the whole security aspect of it, the conversation would not be complete without talking about the time to crack PIN numbers on your phone. And this is a universal topic, regardless of whether it's an iPhone, an Android phone, or a Windows phone. Most of you out there are either not using a PIN or you're using a four-character PIN. That four-character PIN will only take 13 seconds to crack. So if you are using a four-character PIN on your phone, I find it to be unacceptable from a security perspective. And by the way, this whole ease of inputting the PIN on the phone was a huge decision factor for me, because I have my phone set up to where it locks at a very short interval, and I have a very long password for my phone. And so I wanted to make sure that it was going to be something that I could quickly and easily type in there. Now, let's talk about six characters. What if you go up to six character PIN with numbers only? That will take 22 minutes to crack. So again, not acceptable. If you go up to eight characters with numbers only, that's at least 92 days to crack. What I would suggest is you go to 10 characters with numbers only, will give you time to crack of 25 years. That's really what we all need to be using, is a 10 character number, or if your phone allows it, if you could do something like six overall total characters comprised of lower and uppercase letters and some numbers, now you have expanded the time to crack to almost 53 years. So it's 52 and a half years. So I realize that the input screen on the majority of phones does not, it's not really conducive to characters. So do yourself a favor and use a 10 character number combination on your phone, and I know that you can all memorize that because you're all very intelligent and you have your social security number memorized, which is a pretty lengthy number. And please don't use your social security number for your PIN, okay? Don't use your birthday for the PIN, with some combination of something else. You've got to pick something that nobody is going to be able to guess based upon knowing your personally identifiable information. So use a 10 character PIN for your phone, because that translates to a time to crack of 25 years, and that is what I would consider to be adequate security to unlock your phone. So again, brief reminder, just make sure you power down your phone before you go through any sort of a checkpoint or anything else like that, so that whatever the encryption is that you have set up on your phone is actually in place. Well, that is all I have for this week, and I really hope you got a lot of value from the show. Look forward to hearing from you. My email address is breakfastbites@gmail.com.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit